It's time now for Tiger Talk Overtime.
We should embrace playing the gold standard of this conference right now. You should welcome that. You should want that. You should want that experience. It should burn within you to say, I want that opportunity.
Nobody split. Give the ball up and over. And in, I believe. Touchdown Auburn. Well, that was sure second effort by Bo Jackson. He just got hit behind the line of scrimmage. Everybody knew what was coming. Alabama knew what was coming. Bo Jackson just on sure effort got it in.
Out of shotgun, Patrick Nix. Alabama bringing everybody. Nix is going to float one for Sanders. Oh, he caught it at the two, and he dived in. Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn! Oh, my goodness!
Carnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25, cuts it inside. 30, 35, 40. There goes Cadillac. To the 50, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, 10. Go crazy, Cadillac! Go crazy! Touchdown! There goes Davis.
Oh, my God!
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. He ran the missed field goal back. He ran it back 109 yards. They're not going to keep him off the field tonight.
Road, home, dirt, grass, it don't matter. Just give us that opportunity. That's the fire that is within us.
First down and 10, just inside of midfield. Here's Cam on the fake, right up the middle, breaks a tackle at the 40, stays on his feet, 35-30, 25-20, Peterson, the one man to beat, at the 5, he is in! Touchdown, Auburn! Flash that smile, Cam!
Byron waits for the snap into place, there it is, the kick is up, the kick is good! Auburn wins! 22-19!
Tiger Talk Overtime is presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now at 343-0106. Now, here's your host, Doug Holton.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to Tiger Talk Overtime on a Thursday night, an off week for the Auburn Tigers. As you know by now, a loss to the Georgia Bulldogs last weekend in Athens puts Auburn at 2-4 at the off week in 2024. And a couple of road games coming up, Missouri and Kentucky, and then back to Jordan-Hare Stadium in November. But we'll talk about where Auburn is right now with a couple of guys that are pretty knowledgeable, Coach Fred Riley and Brian Brensfield join us in a couple of minutes to discuss Auburn football. And also later in the show, Stu Donald joins us to talk some football as well and give us a little place to go this week as far as tailgating and where you might enjoy the weekend and get some great food at the same time. So stay tuned for that with Stu in the second half of the show tonight. First of all, I want to mention again that Coach Freeze was in Mobile this week to talk to the 68 Ventures Bowl group. And I went back after his comments, after I heard some of his comments, and looked at the game Saturday against Georgia. And I got to the first series, and that's all I needed to see. I give it to you. We posted this on my Twitter page, @TV_WarEagle. If you want to go there and join us for the conversation during the week. Okay, 13:30 to go. This is the first series, offensive series of the ball game for the Auburn Tigers. 13:30 in the first quarter, 3rd and 12, and Peyton Thorne throws a nice pass out to the left to Damari Austin, and he goes from the 21 to the 33 on 3rd and 12 for a first down. A little bit later on, it's 11:56 to go in the first quarter. 3rd and 10, same play, same formation. Peyton decides to run to the opposite side, to the right side. Damari was wide open again. It looked like to me he would have run for the first down. Number 11 for the Georgia Bulldogs, the linebacker, was spying on Peyton the whole time. And there's no way, absolutely no way, Peyton would run for the first down on that play. That indicates to me, if you watch those two plays on our Twitter page, our X page, that indicates to me that Peyton Thorne cannot make the correct decision in the ballgame. This is the first offensive series of the game against Georgia, and he makes that decision. We know what decision he made on fourth and one later in the game that cost Auburn as well. So it's hard for me to believe that somebody like Hank Brown or Walker White, who was very highly recruited, very highly talked about by Freeze and his staff last year, couldn't make a better decision on that play and possibly extend Auburn's drive and take some more time off of the clock, if not anything else. But Hugh Freeze this week in Mobile and Birmingham on his media stops and his talks talked about the quarterback situation and says the following. You'll hear what he says, but he defends Peyton Thorne and says he has played pretty well in the last couple of games.
Peyton has played really well the last two games. I mean, he's laid it on the line, and obviously the interception in the Oklahoma game that really turned that was disappointing, and he takes a lot of heat for that, and I blame myself as much as him on that one. We should have just ran it and punted. We were playing really good defense, but thought we had a good play call, but they give them credit. That linebacker, he really tripped into it. I don't know if you've seen it, but he was falling all over himself and just fell right into it. But Peyton's played really well outside of that. Took care of the ball the other day. Made some really good runs and throws when he needed to. So right now it's his.
Okay, we want to welcome into our microphones two Auburn Tigers here on the off week to talk about Auburn football. Coach Fred Riley is with us, former grad assistant for Pat Dye, and the author of Bo Don't Know Me. Is that right, Coach? Did I get that right?
That is it. Correct. Appreciate the plug.
Longtime coach in high school football as well, and Brian Brinsfield also. Longtime high school coach and Fairhope Pirate and former Auburn Tiger as a long snapper. Brian, welcome in.
Thanks. War Eagle, Doug.
War Eagle. A lot to talk about this week. Again, an off week for the Auburn Tigers. We'll talk about what they do in the off week maybe a little bit later, but want to delve into last weekend a little bit, as much as we can stand. First of all, 31-13 Georgia with a win over the Auburn Tigers. I think that was eight in a row for the Dogs in this series. Brian, I know we've talked before about expectations heading into this year. Auburn fans were maybe hoping for 5-1 at this point at the off week, and we've got 2-4. So where is this football team right now, do you think?
Well, I mean, not where we want to be, obviously. And I, if you're frustrated, I think you're is well deserved. I saw Coach Freeze's press conference after the game, and I hate to think that our coaching staff now had after there were 245 days between the bowl game and August 31st, our first bowl game, and I hate to think in the middle of a season that we've got to now figure things out. We couldn't figure things out in 245 days. And that's a long time. And I didn't have great expectations going into last Saturday at Georgia, but we got to get things fixed. Having two wins going into the off week is not what I thought would happen.
Yeah, Coach, what do you think? No turnovers against Georgia last week, so it looks like we've improved that a little bit. But still, the decision-making as far as some of the players and the quarterback, certainly on the fourth and one is the one that sticks out, I guess, is still not where it needs to be. And I don't know how you get it there. I know we've talked about that before, but it's just it's a glaring point that sticks out to me for the Auburn Tigers right now.
First of all, I will say that it was probably the best game we've played. And in terms of just execution, managing the game, doing the things that I thought they had to do to have a close football game and give them a chance. They ran the 40-second clock. Every time Georgia substituted, we substituted and did it slowly and made them burn the play clock. Georgia finally had to quit substituting because of that and just play with their base personnel most of the game. I believe if we had operated in that manner the way we played yesterday, we would have beaten Arkansas and Oklahoma and Cal. And that performance yesterday was good enough to win those three games. And it goes back from a coaching standpoint of, okay, you have to cover the what ifs so they don't become if onlys. Mm-hmm. And so sort of what Brian was talking about, we obviously didn't cover enough what ifs going into this season, so they have become if onlys, and now you're on the back end trying to fix them.
Right.
And that's a tough thing to look at, but that is truthfully, you know, sort of what's so what if Peyton Thorne can't handle this? What is our plan?
Right.
Afterward, he's not handling this. This is what we have to do. You know, and that's just some overall strategic issues there in terms of the program.
That it is very frustrating for the Auburn fans to have to go through this. We'll talk more about it. Coach Fred Riley and Brian Brinsfield here on the show for a little bit tonight. Later on, we'll talk to Stu Donald and get his take as well. Glad you're with us on a Thursday night, Tiger Talk Overtime. We'll be back in just a minute.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to Doug Holton.
And welcome back to the show, everyone. Doug Holton with you Thursday night, Tiger Talk Overtime. Glad you're with us. Talking some Auburn football, and we want to get back into the Auburn Tigers and the things that are keeping us from becoming what we could be. And I think a lot of people had the indication or the feeling this year that the Auburn Tigers could be a playoff team in the top 12, or at least close to that. And I think we are. Except for that decision-making we're getting at the quarterback position. I think that is the thing that's holding us back, and that's puzzling and frustrating to me and to the Auburn fans. Brian Brinsfield is with us. Coach Fred Riley also for a few more minutes tonight on Tiger Talk Overtime. And Brian, I want to get your thoughts on that and that play that we talked about on the X page tonight. If you want to go there at TV, _War Eagle and watch those plays in the first series of the ball game last Saturday. But I also know you took that 4th-and-1 play where Peyton changed the play. Apparently Coach Freeze talked about it after the game. We had a hole. If you go back and look at the pictures and the videos now, a great hole for the dive play to Jarquez Hunter. And Peyton changes that play to a read option to the right side instead of the left side. And as you talked about to me earlier in the week, the numbers just weren't there for that play to be successful.
No, and I've gone back. We talked on Sunday. I went back and really dissected that play and tried to get in Peyton's head and trying to think like, you know, what was he thinking? What did he see? And you could see before the play, he talked to the tackle. They had a guy in A gap and B gap, so our center guard tackle were covered, and we really couldn't get to the mic back here. So on the right side of the field, the side that we toward the boundary that we ran to, because we had quads, we had four receivers on the field side on the left side of the field. We had an overhang corner, so they had a corner that just he wasn't covering anybody. They also had the defensive end, and the defensive end really did a good job on this play, on the read play, because he came toward the mesh where the quarterback and the running back are going to, you know, hand the ball off. And so that gives confusion. So I don't know what Peyton saw, because we were outnumbered on the right side of the field. He should not have checked that play. If anything, we should have, you know, we should have run the dive, or F insert or something like that. But and just taking our chances, I think Jarquez would have gotten the first down because they had guys in both B gaps. We didn't have anybody really over the center except the mic. So, you know, if our center can release to the mic and get him, and Jarquez gets a first down, or even Peyton just runs a quarterback sneak up the middle, we get 1 yard and we're still in business.
Coach, that might be a new book, What Peyton Is Thinking, but he and Coach Freeze had a couple words after that play last weekend. If you encountered that on the field, what would you think? You got a dive play called and he checks out to that. What do you think?
You know, and I'm not sure if, you know, listening to what, you know, Brian said, and I'm not sure what exactly happened other than the fact that he didn't hand the ball off. Yeah. Like, you know, did they call a inside zone play to hand it off? They said it wasn't a read play, you know, but if you watch Jarquez's response, I mean, he went to block. It was almost like if he thought he was going to get the ball and didn't get the ball, he would have ended up diving into the A gap and turn and look back over his shoulder to see what the heck just happened. So it looked to me, I would have said, it looked like to me, he told him, go block the end and I'm going to keep the ball.
That's exactly what happened.
And then, okay, so you've adjusted it. You've said, I'm going to keep it. You block. We need a lead blocker here, maybe because they have us outnumbered a guy. You don't know what's going in that thought process. But the fact then that he didn't just hit it up inside and go for the first down, he bounces outside into pursuit into unblocked people, and you end up just looking terrible. I mean, you know, and you know, we've always – one of the things about coaching quarterbacks and having quarterbacks over the years – if I ever got to the point where I could not trust what my guy was going to do with the ball. And making bad throws is one thing, but the ball going to places that I'm – what is going on here? Where are you throwing it? Why are you handing it here? Then at that point in time, your hands are tied as a play caller. I mean, because you have no idea what to anticipate. And because you all of a sudden can't trust the guy will put the ball where he's supposed, even if he throws it to where you tell him to and it gets picked. I can live with that. That's right. On me. Right. But all of a sudden the ball is going places that you're looking, you're talking, what did he just do? Well, you know, what's going on here? When it gets to that point, you know, it's a problem you really can't solve. I mean, you can't, because the quarterback's you've got to trust that guy's going to, you know, put the ball where you – if you tell him to throw the post, throw the post. I don't care if there's a free safety back here at 30 yards deep. Right. Pick it, that's fine. That's my fault. Right. But don't expect the ball to be looking to the post and you look out there and he's, you know, handed the ball off or whatever. I mean, you know, you just can't – you can't trust that. And it's hard. And I don't know that – it's never in my career. I've never been able to fix that. Man, I couldn't get that fixed. The only way I fixed it was changing quarterbacks. Right. I mean, that was the only answer I could come up with.
Well, and we tried that and that didn't work. But I think this is the second week in a row that Peyton and Coach have been at odds on the last drive. And, you know, Peyton didn't check to the hot route at Oklahoma. He had a hot route open when they showed six. He should have thrown it to the hot route or called timeout. And then Saturday, they should have called timeout. Coach Freeze, when Peyton went up to the tackle and asked the tackle who was going to block, and the tackle looked at the defensive lineman, and then he brought Jarquez from the pistol to the gun and pointed at the DN and said, "You block him." Coach Freeze should have called timeout. So you got two people, I think, that are not to blame, but we could have done something different.
Yeah, and Coach Freeze said that in the post game that he should have called timeout. But it's not like they're not communicating in the helmet. I mean, with 20 seconds to go, if you don't see what you like, you're going to call timeout on that fourth and one, I would think.
And to Coach's point, I think right now you just say, if you're Hugh Freeze, you say, when I call the play, you run the play I called. Quit checking. Coach said it. If you throw an interception, if you throw it to the guy and it gets batted down or whatever, you live with it. You live with that mistake. Yeah. But quit checking because you're making the wrong decisions.
Yeah, and I'm thinking if you're Peyton Thorne and you have a dive play called to Jarquez Hunter, if you check out of it, you better make damn sure you're checking out to something that's good.
Or it better work.
Yeah. Don't you think, Coach? Or do you try somebody new in the off week? Or what do you think?
I mean, you know, the next guy is not the answer right now. I mean, Peyton has gotten better. Peyton has gotten better as they've pared it down. He's gotten better as Hugh has determined to a point that I've got to call a perfect game offensively. I've got to be right every time, and I cannot put this kid in a bad position. And now I've called basically a perfect game up to that point yesterday, and he puts himself in a bad position. Yeah. Again, I don't know that you can what if that. I mean, that's one of those like, gosh, what are you doing kind of things where you lose your mind. I think they're committed to him. They've got to go with him. I mean, they got to play it out. He's the best option to win. But again, we're not the only. I mean, Arkansas won yesterday. Basically, they're at the top of the SEC or won a couple of games now, basically without a quarterback. Their guy is nothing exceptional. I mean, there are people that are finding a way to win football games right now with average quarterbacks. There's only a few that really have great ones right now in the league. I mean, we played against a guy this weekend that went 20 for 20. That's pretty good. I mean, 20 for 20 passing, I don't know how you can do much better than that. The finding a way to win with the guys you got, I mean, that's the lot you're cast in football at this point in time in the season. There's nobody coming to the rescue. You've got to figure it out. I mean, like we talked about, Arkansas did to Tennessee this past weekend what we need to do, and that's and the same thing Vanderbilt did to Alabama. Guess what? You ain't gonna get snap it very often.
Yeah.
I mean, we're gonna run the ball. We're gonna control the clock. We're gonna make first downs. We're gonna convert third and shorts. And keep your offense off the field, and find a way to win the game late. And that's a plan for a lot of people, not just Auburn.
And Arkansas, Green got hurt in the second half of that ball game, and I thought he was playing a decent game. Like you said, nothing spectacular, Coach. But and then they bring in their second guy, and he plays pretty well in the latter part of the ball game. They come away with a victory over Tennessee. But I wanted to hit. One more thing on the Auburn game last weekend while we're talking about it. Brian, is two plays stuck out to me in that game as far as the officials. Georgia runs a play right at the first down chain. It looked a little short to me.
Yeah.
It was right at the chain.
Yeah.
The official goes in there and spots the ball and points first down. And Georgia's getting ready to run a play without even a measurement or anything.
Correct.
Coach Freeze wouldn't have challenged it. They would have just gone on.
That's right.
And the other play was at the goal line, of course, where the official on the sideline signals touchdown, and you watch the replay, and the guys on TV and us and everybody else is saying, how would you call a touchdown if you can't see it?
Yeah, that's the play that got me was the guy on the far side said he's down. The guy that's what we've got to look at in college football or football in general is the problem is what they call on the field is the problem. And because now you got to have indisputable evidence, video evidence to overturn that. And there was absolutely no evidence, number one, that he got in the end zone. Number two, you couldn't overturn it because you couldn't see anything. from either side, from any angle, over the top, the pylon camera, down the line, you couldn't see anything. So this part of calling on the field, I say we just say we don't know. Let's go to video review, and that's how we'll call it.
Yeah,
but I don't know if they'll do that.
Yeah, and we talked. Brian and I talked a little bit about that last night, Coach. What do you think? Do we need to get to that point with the replay where we're not prejudging the play by the call on the field?
Right, and that doesn't sound like a bad solution. The spots are so so bad, so tarred. You've got all these eyes on it trying to figure it out in this mass of humanity where the ball actually was. I mean, that's so tough. The targeting stuff probably irritates me more than anything. Targeting should not be an ejection. I mean, go back and call it – we used to call it spearing.
Right.
Call it spearing. Call it a 15-yard penalty. Quit throwing these kids out of the game for playing football under the guise of you're throwing them out of the game to protect them from themselves.
Right.
I mean, come on, man. I mean, we got a little scared to death a couple of years ago, and we've gone overboard, and now we have unintended consequences of kids, not getting to play in games that they spend their whole life working to get to play. You don't see anybody get thrown out of the game for targeting in the NFL. It's the most violent game on the planet.
Yeah.
And there's no reason we can't follow their lead and keep guys on the field, keep kids playing.
Yeah. And I always think, as far as spotting the football, I always think of, the technology we have now with digital. We could have a digital line across the field. We could have something like they have in tennis where you can see the ball hit the line afterward. I mean, but we're still pulling chains down the field.
You could put a chip in the football.
I was going to say, you could put an Apple AirTag on the football.
I can find my wife's phone right now, but I'm going to find the football.
We'll talk more about modern technology and how to find your phone when we come back on the Horizon Financial Halftime Report. Stay with us here on Tiger Talk Overtime on a Thursday night. Glad you're here. And we'll be back with Coach Fred Riley and Brian Brensfield for a few more minutes right after this.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. Time now for the Horizon Financial Halftime Report, brought to you by Horizon Financial. Come with us and experience the Horizon difference. We want to talk some more with Coach Fred Riley and Brian Brensfield for just a minute. Appreciate both of you guys being with us. And the Auburn Tigers, as we mentioned, in an off week, they come back with Missouri and Kentucky on the road. And then an interesting ball game now as Vanderbilt comes to Auburn to play the first weekend in November. And it was quite an exciting weekend for the Commodores this past weekend as they pulled the upset in Nashville. And Coach, I know that was an exciting ball game in your household. And you were telling me earlier in the week about, of course, we're all familiar with the quarterback that Vanderbilt now has that was at New Mexico State a year ago. And also some of the coaching staff that has transferred or switched jobs from New Mexico State to Vanderbilt, and they were very successful Saturday night.
Jerry Kill, who's the sort of the assistant head coach in charge of offense at Vanderbilt. Jerry Kill is a tremendous football coach, and he retired at New Mexico State because of health issues. He's had issues with seizures his whole life. He was the coach at Northern Illinois, Southern Illinois, then Northern Illinois that signed Jimmy Ward out of Davidson. And so we had I've known him off and on for years. And Tim Beck went to Vanderbilt, brought Coach Kill with him and they brought in their option system of football. Those guys are old school option guys from back at Pittsburgh State back in the day. They've never really wandered away from their belief system. They're running the same plays we used to run in the wishbone. They just look different. It's all the same stuff. They ran a lot of pistol eye stuff that we ran at Davidson. That part of it is so fun to watch them play.
Yeah.
Barry Switzer had a great tweet. He said, Army's 5-0, Navy's 5-0. They're running the wishbone. Vanderbilt just beat Alabama, basically running the wishbone. And he said, as I've told my players over the years, in football, humility is only 7 days away. And there is a lot of truth to that, especially when you're playing option teams.
Yeah.
And Alabama, one thing they did not do, which was interesting, and a lot of teams get caught when they're defending the option, is they brought hardly any pressure at all. They let Vanderbilt operate without duress and just read their way through things the entire game. I mean, you can't just say, well, we can't blitz an option team. You got to create some pressure and go attack them some and see how they handle themselves under duress with people in their faces. Yeah. And they really never did it to them and let the quarterback operate. Read his way through everything. And plus, that kid's pretty good. I mean, he's just a special guy. We talk about off the air some people have it. I mean, that kid has it. I mean, he just has that, and he makes everybody around him better. And every now and then you get to coach a guy like that, and he's one of them.
Yeah, amazing throw there for the first down late in the ball game, I thought. And just played a terrific game, and as did the whole Vandy team. But Brian, talk a little bit about the Doors, and you're close to them up there. You saw the celebration with the goal post and all that kind of thing. Are they a team to reckon with now? The coach seems to think so.
That goal post was heavy carrying it down Broadway late Saturday night, early Sunday morning. I didn't get in until about 4 a.m. I'm just kidding. It is fun to watch. And Coach is right. From a defensive perspective, trying to scheme any kind of option is tough because it's assignment football. And if you don't have a guy for dive, if you don't have a guy for pitch, if you don't have a guy for quarterback, if you make a mistake, it's gonna beat you. It's gonna hurt you. We used to sit in the defensive room, when we would scheme up teams and go, gosh, if an offense nowadays would run the spread but have four or five plays where they just were proficient with the option, they would kill people. So it was fun to watch. Alabama, I think I think it was the rat poison stuff. I think they just got they thought it was Vanderbilt. They thought they were going to go up there and win, and Vanderbilt wanted it more. But you saw seven of the top 25 teams lose on last Saturday. And there were only 17 of them that played. So 45% or 41% lost on Saturday. I don't remember a time in college football that's ever happened. That many of the top 25. And now we've got, one SEC school that's undefeated now? And maybe only one in the country.
Yes. And we were talking about how in the world do you pick a champion in the SEC, and how would you like to be on the committee to pick 12 teams to be in the college football playoff this year? But we talked a little bit about Arkansas, big win over Tennessee, maybe a signature win for Coach Pittman there. And I thought interesting again, Travis Williams, the defensive coordinator for Arkansas, who of course played at Auburn, did a great job against the Vols last weekend, and he's becoming a factor there for Arkansas this year.
Well, he's a good football coach. I mean, he's a football coach that is, he cut his teeth as a defensive coordinator on option football. I think the best defensive coordinators out there are guys who cut their teeth defending the option because they're always going to be gap sound.
Yeah.
And then they go to all their other stuff. Guys that did not grow up defending that stuff, defending those systems, struggle when they have to deal with it, but they really don't struggle with anything else. I mean, they may struggle with personnel, but as far as getting lined up, getting fit, being gap sound, those guys are really good, and he's got a very, very bright future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Brian, a couple other games last weekend that certainly caught your attention. Texas A&M with a big win over Mizzou, which is, of course, a future opponent for the Auburn Tigers. How will they bounce back? Ole Miss beats South Carolina pretty soundly. Florida gets a win over Gus Malzahn and UCF last weekend. And I did catch a little bit of that Miami comeback against Cal late Saturday night. Cam Ward, a guy that Auburn maybe thought about, 35 for 53, 437 yards and two touchdowns.
It was just a crazy day in college football last Saturday, but a fun day. If you're a college football fan, a fun day. It wasn't a day that like week zero or week two that you're going to see all these blowouts, and it was just a fun day to watch college football. You didn't know what you were going to get, and now it really sets up the second half of the season because you don't know what you're going to get when you go to Vanderbilt. You don't know what you're going to get when you go to Mizzou. Or somebody goes to Texas A&M. Mike Elko has them on, you know, playing well. So it's a really fun – I think it's a really fun time in college football.
Yeah. Brian, give us your 1-2-3 for the off week for the Auburn Tigers. If you had to zero in on three things to work on, what would you do?
Good gosh.
Or can you narrow it that far?
I don't know. I guess the biggest thing is – Run the play that's called. You know, our defense is playing really well. Turnovers have gotten better. Coach said it. We played a good ball game, but again, it's run the plays that's called. I'm struggling with 2 and 3. Coach, I'll let you handle that.
You know, I thought when Peyton knows where to throw the ball, I think, you know, the he's pretty good at it. He throws the ball in some tight spots, does a good job. I think that we're continuing to get better at running the football, forcing a loaded box. Still got to run the ball into a loaded box. Good running teams run the ball into extra guys. They ain't all going to always get forced out of it and throwing the ball. But creating one-on-one stuff outside, we got to get better at wide receiver in terms of catching a 5-yard ball and running off with it. I mean, creating an explosive play off of something that's just an easy execution play, and that, which makes every, we've all coached teams that we run an 80-yard touchdown and they ain't blocked the soul, and everybody feels real good about themselves till you look at it on the film. But right. As far as the game now, well, what a great play! And we've got to make some of those type of explosive plays by continuing to get better at wide receiver, and then from the defensive side of the ball, again, creating turnovers. I mean, turnover battles. The team that wins a turnover battle usually wins the game. Can we create some turnovers? Create some positive side of the field possessions from creating turnovers and help the offense out a little bit in that manner. And hopefully your field goal kicker comes back. Not that the McGue kid's not doing a good job, but we all know the other one's one of the best in the country, and getting him back makes a difference.
Go ahead, Brian.
Well, I think you brought up the wide receivers, and I think that's a great, great point because Coach Freeze even talked about it in his post game, and he said, "Guys, we were covered." Well, we've got to get out of coverage, and whether that's sitting down in a zone, whether that's running different route trees and different route combinations. But we can't just say, hey, our guys are covered. And that's going to be a maturity with some of these young receivers that they've got to figure out how to get open. So I think you're right on that. You're very, very, very good point.
All right, Brian Brinsfield and Coach Fred Riley with us on the show tonight. And we appreciate their thoughts. As always, we'll be back to visit with Stu Donald in just a minute on the Horizon Financial Halftime Report. Stay with us. You're listening to Tiger Talk Overtime right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Walton.
All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. Stu Donald is with us from the Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu show, and time to talk a little more Auburn football, and we'll get into some tailgating a little bit later on. Stu, I know you got a big event going this weekend, but the Tigers, they had their chances last weekend. We got an off week this weekend, so I guess there are certainly things, holes to patch and things to do, but what do you think? What are you thinking for the outlook for the rest of the way?
The same uncertainty I had for the first six games. Yeah. I can say this, though. Since 1892, Auburn is undefeated in bye weeks.
Is that right?
Yep. Never lost a single bye week.
That's a long time.
Yeah. You know, I think it's a little curious. I mean, SEC scheduling has always been a bone of contention, unless your name is Alabama or Georgia.
Yeah.
It just seems odd to me that with two bye weeks in the 12-game season, that we don't get our first bye week until the seventh week of the season. There's no reason for that other than it's intentional. It's to make it harder on certain teams.
Yeah, but you know what? I agree with you, but geez, we had a couple of bye weeks there when we played football. So,
yeah.
the second week. Should have given us an advantage.
Week, the fifth week, the sixth week.
Yeah. I mean, the first week, obviously, and then the New Mexico game wasn't much as we got ready for SEC play, and then we didn't make it pay off. But
hey, two of those losses are looking a whole lot better now than they did a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. And also, before we talk about that, I guess we've seen plenty of a video of the fourth and one by now, and pictures of the hole for the dive to the left that looked like it was wide open. So that was again a pretty big play in the ball game, a pretty big decision by our quarterback.
Yeah, and a decision he apparently wasn't supposed to be making.
Right.
Correct. I think it was Mike G of the War Report posted at the end of the third quarter that Jarquez Hunter had 11 carries for 91 yards, and he finished the game with 13 carries, two carries in the fourth quarter, averaging almost 8 yards a pop.
Yeah, well, I guess we got behind a little further there in the final stanza. Is that right?
You can always run a draw.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely should have run some more because we had success there and with certain things on Saturday. And I thought Georgia was beatable, you know, after the first half of play. But
hey, we had them on the ropes until SEC officiating decided to change things. I mean, the fourth and one call that Georgia went for, they didn't even go forward, not even an inch. And it was ruled turnover on downs, and then an official from 50 yards away with no line of sight for the play overruled it. And he was the same official who overruled the fourth and goal touchdown that Georgia had, the goal line touchdown they had, and the same official who ruled that an incomplete pass on that drive was complete and wouldn't let him review it.
Yeah. I thought those were interesting. And the other call that stuck out to me was, and I can't remember exactly where it was in the game, but Georgia ran a play and they gained a few yards and they were right at the first down marker. It was very close. It didn't look quite like a first down to me, but the ref went in there and marked the ball, no measurement, and just called a first down until Hugh Freeze challenged the call.
Yeah. That was the officiating crew that usually is bailing Alabama out. But since they were in Athens, there was nobody to bail Alabama out this week.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, man, I spent most of the 90s living in Nashville.
Yeah.
I've been to a lot of Vanderbilt games, but I never went to a game like that. And this, you know, they've come close to upsetting Alabama before and Tennessee from time to time. And, you know, they were just snake bit.
Yeah.
This team was not only not snake bit, they were better than Alabama. This wasn't a fluke game. If they played this 9 more times, Vanderbilt wins most of them because they're a better team than Alabama right now.
I know you got a big event coming up this weekend as far as tailgating and cookouts that people might want to go to Friday, Saturday?
Yeah, instead of sitting in front of the TV set, this is a good Saturday because October is the best month of the year for weather in this area. And rather than coop up watching other people's games, head down to Grand Bay for the Smoke on the Farm barbecue and steak cook-off. It is at Mason Hill Farms. If you haven't had any of their steaks, they're unbelievable. In fact, I did a little video short on Sip and Chew recently where I said that the brisket I had from there that Joey Mason cooked for me was better than any brisket I've had in Texas. And that's because the cow was born in Mobile County, raised in Mobile County, dispatched in Mobile County, and cooked in Mobile County.
Yeah.
Which is how they do it in Texas. I mean, they're not – Texas beef is not them bringing in, you know, brisket from Argentina or Mexico or Australia.
Yeah,
it's all – they raise it right there in Texas.
Right.
Well, Joey Mason started this farm down in Grand Bay 3 years ago, Mason Hills Farm, and he's doing just that. The cattle is raised right there on his ranch. And you got a chance to go down there, check it out, help him out. What it is a Christ-based program to provide medical coverage for adults with no medical insurance.
Uh-huh. Gotcha.
And which, you know, being in the restaurant industry, none of us have insurance.
There's
it's
a lot
just
of that,
not
right?
Part of the restaurant industry. Restaurants don't offer it.
Yeah.
And so it's needed. It's a good organization. And then there's a golden ticket for the World Food Championships at stake for the steak cook-off, which is the world's largest food sport event. I was lucky enough to compete in it in 2017 and 2018, taking on chefs from all 50 states, 14 different countries, went up against 450 chefs.
Uh-huh.
And it's just incredible. And this year it's going to be in Indianapolis. It was in Orange Beach for a few years, Dallas for a while, Orlando for a while, Las Vegas for a while. They move every few years.
And that's that way, the event in Grand Bay?
Yeah, this is a qualifier for it. The state competition is.
Gotcha.
And the winner of this gets to go compete in Indianapolis in a couple of months for a chance at $10,000 for their category and $100,000 if they win the whole thing.
Wow, some big money, and looks like some great weather this weekend. So check them out in Grand Bay this weekend. And Stu Donald, thanks for being with us on the show tonight. Always good to have you with us to talk some Auburn football. That's about all the time we have for tonight. Again, an off week for the Auburn Tigers. We'll be back next week to talk about Missouri and Kentucky and Vanderbilt and on down the road as the Auburn Tigers try to salvage 2024. We'll see what happens. Thanks for joining us tonight on the show, Tiger Talk Overtime, here on FM Talk 106.5. And don't forget, join us during the week on our X page at TV_WarEagle for the very latest on Auburn football and Auburn athletics. Until next week, I'm Doug Holton. War Eagle, everybody. We'll see you soon.